We go to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. I've been praying and seeking the Lord about what direction He'd have me to go, and we're beginning a brand new study tonight on a brand new Testament book, and I could not get away from going to the blessed book of Matthew. They're all great books. It doesn't matter where you stop. Jesus is all over it no matter where you go, and we've come to Matthew chapter 1. Here's a shocker. I'm not going to get through the message tonight. No doubt about it. Let's read Matthew chapter 1, just so we can get what we're preaching on, the first 17 verses. Stay with me now. Buckle your seatbelt. It's getting ready to get high in here. Here we go. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram. Don't fall asleep on me now. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson. Naasson begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram. Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham. And Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias. Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias. Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel. Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begat Abiud. Abiud begat Eliakim. Eliakim begat Azor. Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Acham. Acham begat Eliud. Eliud begat Eleazar. Eleazar begat Matan. And Matan begat Jacob. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. I know what you're thinking. What in the world is he going to preach on? I want you to notice the opening phrase of the New Testament. And I'm beginning a message today with this opening phrase as my title. It's the phrase, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. We only get started tonight. It'll make sense as we go on. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. Lord, you know my heart, and I thank you for how you've worked in it. But I pray if I've hindered you at all, that you forgive me, remove it out of my life. May you have free reign tonight. Thy will be done as we open up this brand new book of the New Testament as far as study is concerned. And teach us, I pray, as we'll be in it for a long time. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now before I get to the title of the message tonight, as we begin the book of Matthew, it would be good for us to consider some introductory thoughts before we begin our very first message. Now, the human penman obviously was Matthew. He's also known as Levi, who was a tax collector. Now, these tax collectors were hated among the Jews because they had sold themselves to work for the Roman government. Now, they were considered not only traitors to the Jews, but they were also considered thieves. However, Matthew had received, now I'm talking about later in his life here, he had received the Lord Jesus into his heart, and the Lord used him, a tax collector, to write this book of the Bible. Now the theme of the book is, and I quote, Jesus is the King of Kings. The main purpose of the book is threefold. It's to serve as a link between the Old and the New Testament. It's to connect the memories of the readers to a future hope and future hopes. And it's to show that the Messiah of the Jews and the Lord of the Christians is the same person. Now, some of the main words and phrases of the book include the word fulfilled. It's used and appears 16 times in this book. The word king appears 20 times. The word kingdom appears 56 times. And the word righteous appears 12 times more than any other gospel. Now, this book includes some great sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 to 7. It includes the Sermon on the Parables of the Kingdom, chapter 13. It also includes what's called the Olivet Discourse in chapters 24 and 25. Key sections of the book include the Beatitudes in chapter 5 and the Great Commission in chapter 28. There are 20 miracles which are recorded in this book. Three of these miracles are only found in Matthew. There are 15 parables recorded, 10 of which are only found in Matthew. Matthew gathers more Old Testament prophecies than any other book. And in this book, Matthew is putting before us how Christ is the fulfillment of everything that had been mentioned in the Old Testament. Now, a brief outline of the entire book would be as follows. Number one, the presentation of the king in chapters 1 and 2. Number two, the preparation of the king in chapters 3 through chapter 4, verse 11. Number three, the proclamation of the king in chapter 4, verse 12 through chapter 16, verse 20. And then number four, the passion of the king in chapter 16, verse 21 through the end of the book. Now that we've considered just some introductory thoughts, by the way, this is being recorded just in case you want to go back and get it, because maybe I said some things that you weren't aware of, but I'm not going to get bogged down in it. You can go back and listen to it later. But now that we've considered some of these introductory thoughts about the book, let us begin the study of this book together. These 17 verses are broken up as follows. First of all, there's a genealogy from Abraham to David in verses 1 to 6. In verses 7 to 11, you have the genealogy from Solomon to the Babylonian captivity. Then in verses 12 to 17, you have the genealogy from the Babylonian captivity to Joseph. I'm talking about not the literal father, but the lawful father, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at first glance, I read those verses on purpose, because at first glance, these opening 17 verses, they may seem very boring to you. However, genealogies are obviously important because the blessed Holy Spirit inspired them to be used right here. As a matter of fact, we can see from the outset that the whole New Testament rests upon the accuracy of these genealogies. Now, as we come to these opening 17 verses, it's worthy to note that this highlights the genealogical line of Joseph. Now, in Luke, you have the genealogical line of Mary, but it's highlighting the genealogical line of Joseph. We see that in verse number 16. Now, this being the case, listen to me, he was not the actual father of Jesus Christ, because Jesus, we know, was virgin born. Now, this is important to remember this as we embark on this opening study. Now, I'm still in my introduction, stay with me. As I was reading these opening verses, 17 verses, the very first phrase seemed to come to the forefront of my mind. It's the phrase, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the title of this opening message. It'll at least take us another message to get through it as we consider this genealogy. Now, before I give you the outline, I'm only going to give you part one anyway tonight, so don't worry about it. But before I ever give you the outline, I'd like to bring out an interesting and an impacting truth found in this opening phrase. Now, notice how the New Testament opens with this phrase, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to hold your place here because we're coming back to it. Flip back to the book of Genesis chapter 5. The book of Genesis chapter 5. Just introducing this opening message to you, Genesis chapter number 5. And look at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 1. Now, if we go back to the Old Testament, which is where we're going, we find another phrase that is similar to this one. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. We find another phrase that is similar but not the same. Notice what it says in Genesis 5:1. Here it is. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Now, I want you to keep that in your mind. Flip back to the book of Matthew. Wait on me there. Now, in Genesis 5:1, we see the language. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Now get this. This is such a powerful point right here, right off the outset. As we know the book of the generations of Adam, it includes all of mankind that has been created by the Lord God of heaven. Now we see that one enters the book of the generations of Adam by birth. When you were born, you were written into the book of the generations of Adam. You entered it by birth. But because Adam sinned, and we have been written into his book, because Adam sinned, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We understand that the book of the generations of Adam includes all of mankind who has a human father and a human mother, and they are written in the book of the generations of Adam, and because of his sin and our progressive sin, it will end in death. No doubt about that. All through the Old Testament, we see the sad story of those who were in the book of the generations of Adam. However, and I've got that in all capital letters, when we get to the New Testament, it opens with a wonderful phrase, and that phrase is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. In other words, one enters Adam's book by birth. Guess how one enters the book of the generations of Jesus Christ? By birth. It's called the new birth, the second birth. And just like Adam's book ends in death, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ ends in eternal life. In John 3:3-16, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Adam was born, committed sin, and has brought about death to all mankind, all of those who are written in the book of the generations of Adam. However, the precious Lord Jesus was virgin born, died for sin, and has brought about eternal life to all those who trust him as their Savior. Thank God for the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this is how the book opens, and we're excited about it. I hope you are too. I'm glad, listen, I had no choice in being written into the book of the generations of Adam. Had no choice in that. I have a human mother, a human father. I'm a sinner bound for hell. But it was my choice when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Here, my mother confirmed this, I was saved in Bible time here around 8 or 9 years old. Can you imagine that? I mean, saved in the children's ministry of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I'm telling you that when I confessed my sin to Christ and invited Jesus to come into my heart, it was my choice, but at that moment I was written into the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, thank God for his book, no doubt about it. Now tonight I want to give you number one. I finally got to it. I'm out of breath. I'm sweating like a stuck pig. I'm going forward. We're looking at this book together, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. There's three things in these opening 17 verses that we notice about the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. I'm only going to get to one tonight, so let me dig in here. Number one, the first thing we see about it, here it is, don't miss it. Number one, it settles his identity. It settles his identity. We see this in verse number one, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Notice it, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now stay with me here. Genealogies were very important to Israel. Through them, I'm talking about genealogies, it could be established whether a person had a legitimate claim to a particular line. Now with this opening verse, we see two men's names given to help settle the fact that it is the Lord's right to sit upon the throne. It is He, it is Christ, it is Messiah. This is the promised one of God. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ settles this. David is mentioned first. Now what I want to do is mention both of them, so I'm just going to separate them here since David's mentioned first. By the way, Abraham came before David. So why was David mentioned first? Because David's line showed his royal lineage. It shows that he's Messiah, you understand. And I'm telling you, let's look at David first. As David is mentioned, it is to identify Christ as this is the royal one. He is the coming Messiah. This is He. And it shows that He has the right to sit upon David's throne. Now I want you to hold your place here because we're coming back to it. And I'm going to read some scripture to you tonight because this is a Bible study. And I want you to get a grasp of it. Flip back to the book of 2 Samuel with me just a moment. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'm going to show you what's known as the Davidic covenant. Now, it's important that you see this because this opening verse of the New Testament, understand how many things are going to be brought out about the Lord throughout the Gospels. Can you imagine how many things are brought out in the book of Matthew? But it's interesting, the first way he starts his book, he's saying, this is the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. You know what he's saying? He's saying, it's settled. This is He that the Old Testament has been prophesying about. I'm telling you, 2 Samuel 7, verse number 4. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people over Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cast off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that He will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine, here it is now, here it is. And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. We see this again in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 17. I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but in 1 Chronicles 17, 7 to 14, it's also the Davidic covenant that God said. Now he's talking about Solomon here, but then he makes a statement that your throne will be established forever. And I'm telling you something, when God makes a promise, he always keeps it. Stay with me here. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Turn over to the book of Isaiah chapter 11 with me, please. Isaiah chapter 11. We're just looking at David here tonight because it opens up. He's the son of David. What's the importance of that? The importance of that is that it proves he is Messiah. He has the rightful place to assume the throne some glorious day. I'm telling you, Isaiah 11, 1 to 10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Luke chapter 1 verses 31 to 33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. I'm telling you something, that what the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the first thing it's showing us is that it settles his identity. He is from David. He is from that line. And I'm telling you, because of that, he is the Messiah who he promised he would be. Then we see the name Abraham is mentioned. Now, in this, we see that it's identifying that he's from the right nation. He's from the right seed. Now, in Genesis 12:3, if you remember the story, God told Abraham, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Genesis 17:6-8, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Galatians 3:13, don't turn to it for time's sake. Just listen to this. Let it bless your heart here. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. "He saith not, and to seeds," plural, "as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I'm telling you, don't miss what the Word of God is teaching here. I'm telling you that in all of this, we see the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. He is the seed that gives everlasting life. If you're found in Him, He is Abraham's seed, and He's the one that has the promises of God connected to Him. I'm telling you that it settles with Abraham and David, and it settles Christ's identity that He is the seed of Abraham, and He is right here of David, giving him the right to sit on the throne forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Aren't you glad that the book of, I'm talking about the generation of Jesus Christ, it starts off by saying He's the son of David. That means He's Messiah. He's the son of Abraham. That means He's the promised seed. He's identifying. He is settling the fact that He is who He said He is. He is Savior. He is Lord. He is King. He is God. And because He's who He said He is, you and I have a hope of heaven some glorious day. Now I'm telling you, we know that the lovely Lord, by the way, here's one of the major teachings from Matthew 1, the genealogies. Somebody turned the air off in this place. Who in the world did it? I'm sweating up here, no doubt about it. But it's a good sweat, I'll guarantee you that. You say, Jody, how do you know the genealogies are accurate? Well, you can go back and check them yourself if you want. But I want to give you something here just to kind of summarize this opening point here. Now, we know that the lovely Lord Jesus' enemies were watching every movie made. Amen or not? They were watching every movie made. They went so far as to falsely accuse Him. They were waiting to trip Him up. Interesting. They never questioned the genealogy. Now, they blasphemed Him and accused Him of being born of immoral relations. But I'm talking about the accuracy of the genealogies. You'll never find them questioning it. You know what that tells me? They're pretty accurate. And I'm going to tell you what that means. That means He really is who He said He is. He really is God. He really is Christ. He really is the substitute for our sin. He really is my hope today. Can I say something to you? The only reason you're here is because you believe that Jesus Christ is who He said He is. That's not, listen, if He's not who He said He is, we're all going to burn in hell, every last one of us. But the opening verse of the New Testament introduces us to another book, the book of Jesus Christ. And then it identifies and it solidifies and it settles who He is. Because if He's not who He is, He's a fraud. He's a fake. And I say that with all respect because you know He's not a fraud. And you know He's not a fake. What's the first thing we see in the book of Matthew? What are we looking at? When are we going to get back to this? I don't know. Maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night. I don't know. But I know this. I'm already excited about this book. Because this book, the opening part of it, the genealogies, we learn great truths from them. And the first thing we're noticing about the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the genealogies here, we learn, number one, it settles His identity. He is the son of David. He is the son of Abraham, which means He has a rightful place. And He's going to ascend the throne some glorious day. And when He does, it's His. Because He is the promised Messiah. He is God. He is Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. Aren't you glad that He knows you tonight? I'm glad I know Him, but above that, I'm glad He knows me. Because there's so many people that's going to hear God say, one of the great mysteries, depart from me. I never knew you. I'm glad when Jesus Christ, who is sitting on the right hand of the Majesty on high, when He looks down here right now seeing this old country boy preaching a message, He's not up there saying, I don't know you. He's up there saying, that's one of mine down there. He's mine. I know Him personally. And I have that assurance. Why? Because the Word of God settles His identity. I'm glad He's who He said He is. Amen. Man, that's good right there. I'm glad He's who He said He is. Amen. May the Lord add His blessing. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, help us tonight. Thank You for this opening message of this opening chapter in the book of Matthew. Thank You how the genealogies settle Your identity. You are the Son of David, the promised Messiah. You are the Son of Abraham. You come from the right nation. You are the promised seed in the book of Galatians. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in rightly dividing the Word of God. Help us as we preach through this book not to add to it or take away from it. And we thank You that You are who You say You are. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. You say, Jody, how are You going to give an invitation here? I'm going to give it this way. Does the One who is really God, the One whose identity's been settled, the seed of Abraham, the son of David, the Messiah, the King of kings and Lord of lords, does He know you tonight? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Are you truly born again? If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible, man with a man, lady with a lady, and we'll share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. Well, maybe tonight God's speaking to you because He is really who He said He is. Maybe you've not been taking orders like you should from Him. And you say, He is God. I need to be submissive. I need to obey. I don't know how the Lord's dealing with you. Or maybe He's dealing with you saying, you know, He is God. I am God, He's saying. And I can take your problems. I can help you with that. I can take care of you with that. Because He's promised He would, and because He promised He would, and He is who He says He is. And it's proven by the Word of God, you can take His statements and you can believe them because they're true whether you believe in them or not. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you. Father, take this thought, use it in a great way. Help those who may need to respond to respond. May the will of God be done in our midst. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's playing through softly. If God is speaking to your heart, maybe you have a trouble going on in your life and you just need to rest on God, who He says He is. Maybe you need to obey something He's told you to do, or maybe you need to trust Him as your Savior. As they're playing through softly, step up. Step to your feet. Come to this altar. Pray and talk to the Lord about it. Whatever God's dealing with you about, come on. Come on now. Amen. We're off to a start in the book of Matthew. It'll take us a while. I'm going to ask Brother Harry to come.